Welcome to the teaching portion of our worship at Watkinsville First Baptist. My name is Carlos Sibley and I pastor here. We have four critical values in the life of our church. That is, we value the Word of God, we value relationships, we value all generations, and we value living on mission. What you're hearing today is very much in line with that first critical value, the Word of God. For more than 20 years, I've said, let's open our Bibles together. So I invite you to grab your Bible, let's open it, and I hope you will enjoy hearing from the Word of God today. But let me say this, don't let this be your only encounter with life at Watkinsville. I hope you'll receive this as an invitation to come and join in person sometime in the future. And when you're here, be sure and introduce yourself face-to-face with me. I'd love to know who's listening online, who's following the teaching there online. I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to sharing the Word with you today.
You can have a seat. Great is thy faithfulness. That's what we're going to take a peek at today. I'm Pastor Andrew. I get to serve here as our next-gen pastor. Now, we have been in the Psalms this summer. So we've kicked it off with Psalm 112. Next week, we're going to be in Psalm 118. I can't believe that it's already July 20th, week 7 of the Psalms. If you've been tracking with us, today is Psalm 117. If you have your Bibles, open with me Psalm 117. As you're getting there, I want to ask you a question. What have you missed this week? What have you missed this week? And you're like, Andrew, what do you mean by that? What have you missed out on? What have you missed this week? For instance, got a couple things for you. I love golf. I'm wearing a Masters polo. I'm not that good, but I love to play, and I really love to watch guys that are really good play, because if you've played golf, you know it's really hard to be really good. And right now, overseas, in Northern Ireland, the Open Championship is happening. You know what I've missed out on this week? Watching that. You know why? Because I'm not getting up at 1:30 in the morning to watch some guys play golf. So, something else happened this week. I was driving by Thomas Preserve right here off Symington Bridge. If you've never been, go. It's a fun place to walk. Drove right past it, didn't even think a thing about it. Missed out. Another thought process. We have a 5-year-old. He'll be 6. He'll tell you that he's 5 3/4. His name's Tate, and he's a mess. And he was telling Kimberly about 2 weeks ago. He said, Mom, do you see that turtle? And she said, no. And he said, yeah, do you see that turtle up there? And now Kimberly and I were flummoxed. We were like, what in the world? What turtle is up there? Do you guys know of any turtles that are up there? I know of no turtles that fly, but I heard it. I heard it. Tate was looking at the clouds, and he saw this turtle. He did it yesterday. He said, Mom, you see that koala? This time I'm point blank on. I'm like, he's talking about a cloud. There are no koalas in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, when we were driving. And he's like, yeah, that cloud looks like a koala. I'll be honest with you. I have, over the last 2 weeks, haven't missed out on as many clouds in my driving. I've actually seen the clouds recently. Have you? Now, we come to Psalm 117 today. You know what Psalm 117 is? All my Bible scholars know this. This is the shortest psalm. It's 2 verses. But all my really good Bible scholars know this. This is the shortest chapter in the entire Bible. This is it. 2 verses. Shortest chapter in the entire Bible. I got something for you today. Don't miss out on Psalm 117. Don't miss out on Psalm 117. Psalm 113 to 118 is something called the Hallel. And a practicing Jew, even right now today, would sing the full Hallel. Psalm 113 to 118. They would sing it, guys, about 25 times a year. They'd sing it at Passover. They sing it at Hanukkah. They sing it at the Feast of Tabernacles, about 25 times a year. It's easy to miss out on Psalm 117. Don't miss out on Psalm 117. Read it with me. today. Psalm 117, two verses. We're going to read it a couple times. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify him, all peoples. For his faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Hallelujah. That's it. Two verses. That's it. Don't miss out on Psalm 117. Read it again with me. We're going to take it slower this time. Praise the Lord, all nations. Glorify him, all peoples. For, verse 2, for his faithful love to us is great. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. And your translation might say, praise the Lord, or it might say, hallelujah. Man, Psalm 117, big idea, big focus here for you, big idea, big focus here for me that I have for you today. Write this glory saying on your heart. It's two verses. Write this glory saying on your heart. The Greek word is doxology. We know it. We sing something that we call the doxology. Doxology, y'all, is just a big word for glory saying. When the psalmist writes 117 here, as the Lord inspires him, as we recite the Hallel, 113 to 118, Psalm 117 is the doxology of 113 to 118. Pastor Taylor last week, our student pastor, preached through 116. What we're reminded of in the Hallel is this, that God delivers. He didn't just deliver, he delivers. He delivered the whole nation of Israel. And then Psalm 116, we come to this personal deliverance. Personal pronouns littered throughout Psalm 116. And then we come to 117, two verses. And what he's reminding us, what he's hearkening us to, is this is a glory saying encapsulating it all. So, this week, write this glory saying on your heart. What does that look like, Andrew? You're sitting there thinking, Andrew, how do I do this? What does this look like? Three things for you. Three things for me this week. Next week. 6 months from now. Hopefully 60 years from now. Maybe for you. Three things. Praise Yahweh. Enjoy his loving kindness. And number three, proclaim his faithfulness. Look with me back. Verse one. I want you to see in the true Hebrew here, when I say praise Yahweh, we're using the covenant name of God. Yahweh is the covenant name of God. In your Bibles, all my English people out there, myself out there, the beginning of verse one and then the last bit. I was reading from the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. It says hallelujah to end this psalm. Your translation might say praise the Lord. But if you're looking at this, praise the Lord. When you see in your Bible all caps of Lord, maybe you have it and it's like 10-point font L and then 9-point font ORD. When you see that in your Bibles, the true Hebrew is the covenant name of God, Yahweh. And this isn't just speaking about the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. Yahweh is Father, Son, and Spirit. So when you see that, that's the psalmist says, hey, doxology, guys, think about this as you recite this whole 113 to 118. I want you to begin your day. I want you to begin this psalm. I want you to finish this psalm with praise Yahweh. For you and me in our lives, the beginning, the end, the day in, the day out, the boringness at our desk at 3:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday when we're just trying to get to Friday, praise Yahweh. Praise Him. The psalmist says, let me begin and let me end with praise Yahweh. The CSB uses hallelujah because if you want to dig into the Hebrew, technically what the psalmist does is he says hallelujah, which is like my brothers call me Drew sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes they call me Drew. If you call me Drew, I'm probably not going to respond. They're the only people in my life that do that. But Yah is a shortened version of Yahweh. It's like the nickname. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, covenant name of God. Praise Him. Begin and end with this. Man, for me, I'm sitting there thinking through. First time that we see this word in all of the Bible. Anybody know this? Exodus 3. What's happening in Exodus 3? The burning bush. Probably better for us to call it the bush on fire, right? Moses, he's out there, he's tending to Jethro's sheep, and he comes across this bush that's just a flame, but it's not burning up. What happens? Yahweh speaks to him. God calls out to him from the burning bush. Moses, Moses. Exodus 3. What does Moses do? Moses, he obeys. He comes closer. That's what says in the text right there in Exodus 3. Then we come and we keep reading and we keep going with Exodus 3. And you keep reading and Yahweh says, hey, Moses, take off your sandals. This place is holy ground. What does Moses do? He takes off his sandals. He sits there and it says that he's afraid and he hides his face. And Yahweh continues and he speaks. Moses listens to the Lord. Then Moses questions Moses' authority as he's listening. And he says to the Lord, who should I tell them? What is your name? And we come to verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said to him, tell the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. First time that we see this. If you're reading Psalm 117, your brain, let it throw you back right here. Let it throw you back to Exodus chapter 3. And the presence of the Lord before Moses in a burning bush saying, I am who I am. Yahweh, Yahweh has sent me, Moses, to his people, Israel. Make it hearken you back to, take and open with me Genesis 15. What's happening in Genesis 15? That's when the dude, he's still named Abram. He's not Abraham yet. He's Abram. The Lord has already promised him in Genesis 12. He's already promised him, guys, in Genesis 12 that he would bless this man with a land. He would bless Abraham that his descendants would be like the stars of the sky. He would bless this man that all nations would be blessed by him. And then we come to Genesis 15 right here, and we read with me, beginning in verse 12. As the sun was setting, a deep sleep came over Abram. And suddenly, imagine this, deep sleep comes upon you, and suddenly, great terror and darkness descended on him. Let that sink in. Great darkness and terror descended upon him as he goes to sleep. Then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain, your offspring will be resident aliens for 400 years in a land that does not belong to them and will be enslaved and oppressed. However, I will judge the nation they serve, and afterward they will go out with many possessions. But you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared and passed between the divided animals. Man, in ancient Near, we're not going to jump into ancient Near Eastern covenants, but here's the reality of what happened right here. Abram did what the Lord asked him to do. He split apart some animals. Yahweh appears. He puts Abram in a deep sleep. He passes between these dead animals in a flaming pot, smoking pot, flaming torch. And what he's sitting there saying, guys, in this moment is, I said that I'm going to bless you. God himself said, I'm going to bless you by giving you a land, more descendants than you could ever count, and that every single nation that walks this earth will be blessed by you. If I don't do that, let this be done unto me. Let what happened to these animals be done unto me, is what he's sitting there saying. So when we hear praise Yahweh, when we hear praise covenant name of God, when we read it, when we see it, hearken your brains, push your minds back to here, because that's what's happening. That's what the psalmist wants you to hear. That's what the psalmist wants me to hear. This is the one that we get to praise. We get to praise him. We get to bring him all the glory that's due his name. Maybe your translation, ESV, says, extol him, all peoples. Throw it out there. All your words, all your actions. Praise him. Praise him. Man, I was reading this book with Tate the other day. It's called Little Lion Lungs. If you have a 4 to 8-year-old, buy it. Have some fun, buy it. Little Lion Lungs. Just go ahead and buy it. If you have a grandchild that's this age, go ahead and buy it. If you don't, Brandon Lake will thank me. He wrote this. You might know him as a singer, songwriter. But even if you don't have kids those age, just go ahead and buy it. He wrote this with his wife. They have 3 little boys. I was reading this book with Tate. This is about this little lion. I won't ruin it for you. But they're all trying to bring gifts to the king. All these animals in the Sahara where this is are trying to figure out what gifts can they bring the king. And there's just this little lion right here. And he's sitting there thinking, what can I bring? I have nothing. I have nothing. For you and me in our lives, there's a lot of times where we think that we can bring a lot to the Lord. Because we have a lot. And we forget that it's all his anyway. We forget that he's given it all to us to begin with. It's all his. Maybe we feel like we've tithed a lot. Maybe we feel like we've served a lot. Maybe we feel like we've done a lot for a lot of people. What can we bring? Man, you know what you can bring? You can bring your praise. You can bring your praise. You can lift up your voice to him in song, in prayer. You can lift up your heart to him. Man, things that I pray over myself and my family. Man, I was reading through John Piper a few years ago, and I've taken all of his verbs, and I've shifted it some. Man, I want to give these to you. Things to pray so that you can bring your praise to him. They're IOUs. IOUS. It's real simple. You're sitting there asking yourself, how can I praise Yahweh? Man, pray this. Incline my heart to your word, O God. Don't just pray it in the morning. I pray this for myself throughout the day. Open my eyes to see you working mightily, O God. Man, I miss out a lot. If I'm going to write this glory saying on my heart, man, guys, I miss out a lot. I'm asking you not to miss out on Psalm 117, but I miss out a lot on the ways that the Lord works. Unite our hearts as a family. Kimberly, Tate, Owen. to live in awe of you, O God. Let me live in awe of him. Let me not come to this point where I think that I'm just bringing it all, I'm just doing it all. Man, that kid understood how to add 2 + 6 better because of me as a teacher. This person got an insane return on their investment this year because of me. Let me be in awe of how you're working. The S, this is a hard one, y'all. Satisfy me in every moment with your loving kindness and faithfulness. And I'll be honest with you, I do switch these attributes of God up. It's not always his loving kindness and faithfulness. Sometimes it's his mercy. Sometimes it's his grace. Sometimes it's these crazy ones like his omniscience that I'll never understand, that he knows everything, or his omnipresence, that he is everywhere. Satisfy me. We live in a place where it's hard to be satisfied. Satisfy me. So write this glory saying on your heart, Psalm 117. Begin this week, begin next week, begin 6 months from now by praising Yahweh. Two, enjoy God's loving kindness. Let me show a picture of some guys. I want to see if you know who these guys are. And they all have something in common. The guy in the dead middle, Simon Sinek, business leader, business speaker, motivational speaker, speaks a lot, still alive. Guy on the left, King Costa, South African Christian businessman, did some work in finance. And then the guy on the right, probably the first time he's ever been thrown on the screen here, maybe not, German philosopher, he is dead, guy named Friedrich Nietzsche. If you know anything about Nietzsche, you know that he was a nihilist as well as an atheist. That's why I'm saying probably first time on the screen. You know that all these guys have something in common. They all wrote extensively about, some are still writing about. Nietzsche's dead. He's not writing about it anymore. They all wrote about this concept of personal purpose. AKA, this will make sense for you, knowing your why. I'm sure you've heard that before. Do you know your why? They all wrote about it. Here's the reality with Psalm 117, that the psalmist did something really, 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 really kind to you and me. That the Lord, speaking through this psalmist, did something really kind. He could have just said, praise Yahweh, and it could have been the shortest chapter in the entire Bible, 2 verses. Just praise Yahweh. Just it. But he didn't. He gave us the why. I hope you saw that. Verse 2, he gives you the why on why we get to praise Yahweh. 4, his loving kindness to us is great. Man, we could go on and on and on about this. I could go on and on and on just about this, and I won't. If you have a pen, I've circled it in my Bible. You don't have to, but I circled the word for. And I just went ahead and drew an arrow to praise the Lord and to hallelujah. This is the why. I get to praise Yahweh for his faithful love. This is a crazy Hebrew word right here. And we could jump in and go down a crazy rabbit hole with a word study that I'm not going to. But translators struggle, guys, mightily. They struggle mightily to translate this word. You'll see it as loving kindness. You'll see it as steadfast love. You will see it as mercy. You will see it just as just plain love. You will see it as faithful love. You will see it as covenantal love. You'll see it as even this. And this is the word is chesed. H-E-S-E-D is how we would spell it. Loyal love. Yahweh, God himself, you know what his love is, guys? His love is perfect. His love never wavers. His faithful love is unconditional. You and I get it without having to do anything for it. His faithful love His faithful love. Notice this, if we're reading verse 2, it's not that it was great to you and me. It's not that it will be great to you and me. It is great to you and me. Here in this very present moment right now, God's faithful love is great to you. This upcoming Tuesday, God's faithful love is great to you. This upcoming Thursday, 3 months from now, God's faithful love is great to you. Man, we are reading through the concepts of His faithful love. You might not feel as though you deserve His faithful love. You might be in a place right now where you don't deserve His faithful love. You might be in a place 4 years from now where you feel like you don't deserve His faithful love. Guess what? Guess what? It's there. It's for you, and it's great. What Jesus has done for you and me on the cross, like he took our sins. He died on the cross for you and me. Genesis 15, he walks through, or he moves through as a flaming torch and a smoking pot, saying, let this be done unto me if I don't fulfill this. Guess what? He fulfilled it, and he still died for you and me. He died the death that you and I deserve to die. That's his faithful love. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know King Jesus, you get to enjoy his faithful love. For his faithful love to us is great. Call out on the name of the Lord today. Call out on his name and say, Father, I come before you. Maybe you're in the room and you've never done this. For his faithful love to us is great. Call out on his name and say, I surrender. I know I'm a sinner in need of you, my Savior, King Jesus. I know that that's what you've done for me. And he says that he will save you. His faithful love to us is great. That's who he is. That's who God is. That's who he is. Think about this, guys. In the day in and the day out of your life, in the day in and day out of my life, am I thinking about the fact that his faithful love to me is great? That it is perfect. It doesn't waver. It doesn't sit there and say, I don't think I love Andrew anymore right now. It doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. The Lord never sits there and loves me less. Instead, I get told that it is great. And the best part about it, guys, is this. If we're looking at this language and we're dealing with the language and the text and what's happening in it, then what we see here is we see champion language. We see warrior language. We see military language. As we look at, you don't see it, more than likely. I didn't see it. I had to study it and spend some time with it. But for me, you have two us right there. It's this verb. It's probably best translated as like over us. And here's what it actually means for you and me. Because you might be sitting there thinking right now, Jesus, I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, Andrew. Well, guess what? I'm celebrating with you right now. But this warrior language of the to us or the over us, what it is saying is that faithful love fully surrounds you and trains you to being made more and more like the one you praise. That faithful love that has said that loyal love, that steadfast love, that enjoying God's loving kindness, love, isn't just to you as in like, I'm going to hand you something. No, it's fully surrounding you like one of those soccer ball weird things that are clear that you get in and you go and you ram up against somebody else and you go flying back 60 feet. If you've never experienced one of those Zorb balls, just look it up, kind of wild. It is over you and encapsulating you and all around you in every single moment of your life. Write this glory saying on your heart. Praise Yahweh. Enjoy enjoy his loving kindness. And number three, proclaim his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Maybe you're reading from the NASB or the NKJV and it says, the truth of the Lord. The truth of the Lord. That might be the better translation than faithfulness. The truth. Because you know what God's truth is? He is true. And guess what his truth does? It always happens. He's speaking to Abram in Genesis 15. What does he tell him? He tells him that his descendants are going to become slaves for 400 years. Guess what happens? They become slaves for 400 years. But guess what happens? The Lord delivers them like he says he would. And we see that with Moses. God's truth does not fail. God's faithfulness in your life, in my life, does not fail. And guess what we get to do? We get to proclaim it. There's going to be moments in your life where it feels like you have no faith. There's going to be moments in your life where you feel like you have no faith. It feels faithless. There's going to be moments in your life like me. When I sin, I am unfaithful. There's going to be moments in my life, in your life, where I am living in the presence of the Lord, and it feels like I'm at my greatest faithfulness that there ever is. Guess what? In every single one of those moments of your life and of my life, he is faithful. And guess what we get to do right now? Because understand this. We're diving in the text. We're working in the text. Praise the Lord, all nations. That word nations is translated Gentiles. AKA, we are not a part of the covenant people of God, the Israelites, as the psalmist writes this. And guess what we are now? We get to be called sons and daughters because of King Jesus. Great is his faithfulness. Abram couldn't have understood it, that the Lord was going to bless him, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed by him, that AKA, all the nations of the earth would get to hear the gospel proclaimed to them. And you and I, I'm a white dude, guys, who was born in Albany, Georgia, lived in Atlanta, lived a little in South Carolina, and now I'm here. Guess what? I get to know Yahweh, the creator of the universe. Not because of my faithfulness, not because of anything that I've done, but because of his faithfulness. Because he is true, and he is always true. And he brings about what he promises to fulfillment in your life and in my life. Do you see it? Do you see it? Guess what? You sat down in that chair today, didn't you? How many of you thought that chair was going to hold you up when you sat down? My guess is none of you. You know what you did? You saw it. You saw a good chair. You saw a comfortable chair. You saw a chair that had four legs on it. Maybe you saw all this. Maybe you just came in super late and you just plopped down somewhere. That's cool. Guess what you did, though? You trusted that that chair was going to hold you up. That you're not going to fall down right now. You might be trying to put a little extra stress on it just to see if it'll hold you up right now. But it's holding you up. Proclaim his faithfulness. Guess what? That requires you and me to actually trust in him that he is who he says he is. That I'm trusting in the fact that he's going to do what he says he is going to do. That I am trusting in the fact that he is truth and it does not change. I am trusting in the fact that he is Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for my sins, and he is making me more and more like him right now. That is his faithfulness. That requires me to trust in him, in the good moments of my life and in the bad moments of my life. I was driving down Simonton Bridge right here. Man, it was like 3 weeks ago, and it was pretty early in the morning, and I was just listening to this hymn. I don't always do this, so don't think of me like some spiritual guy, highly just good, man, listen to hymns all the time, Andrew. That was not it. But I was this morning, and I was listening to this hymn that we all hear a lot. It's called "'Tis So Sweet." It's It's written by this woman named Louisa Stead. She was born in Dover, England in 1850, moved to the States in 1871, gets married, moves to New York, has a vacation on the Long Island Sound, watches her husband jump in trying to save this little boy who's drowning, and guess what happens to him? He drowns too. She always dreamed of being a missionary, gets told that she can't go to China because of health reasons. After all this, she says, you know what, I'm doing it. I'm taking my little daughter Lily with me, and they move to Zimbabwe. And there in Zimbabwe, she writes these words, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know him, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I have proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to know him more. Proclaim his faithfulness because you trust in him." I want to show you a picture this week that I didn't miss. And it's this really pretty sunset. And I didn't miss it because of Tate. And it's blurry because I zoomed in, and I'm not a great photographer. But I caught the clouds. I caught the clouds. They're up there. They're hard to see. Crazy beautiful sunset. You saw them this week, I hope, as well. Or did you miss it? Psalm 117 is two verses, and it is easy to miss. It's easy to miss. And yet, over and over and over again, we see this. We see praise Yahweh. We see enjoy his loving kindness. And you and I see that we get to proclaim his faithfulness. And as we finish up today, I want to pray. There's doxologies littered throughout the Bible. Littered throughout the Bible. There's glory sayings littered throughout. Jesus' half-brother Jude wrote one, and he finishes it. He finished off the book of Jude by saying this, by praying these words. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, present you blameless before his presence and great glory, to the only God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever." And that's my prayer for you.
Thank you for being a part of our worship today at Watkinsville. If the message today creates any questions in your heart, you'd like to talk more about it, you could do that by sending an email at info@watkinsville.org. If you just have questions about the church, you could find a lot of information about what's going on here in the life of this place at watkinsville.org. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I hope today's message encourages you in your walk with the Lord. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you could do that right now. Just admit to God that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. Call out to Jesus to forgive you of your sins and turn and trust him with your whole heart today. And you can begin a personal relationship with Christ today. I look forward to meeting you face to face sometime soon.